morning, folks, and welcome to each and everyone this morning. We're so glad to see you, as always. And we're glad that you're here, glad that you're well, and glad that you love the Lord and are willing to let your faith be known. So welcome to each and every one of you this morning. May the Lord bless you. May the Holy Spirit guide and direct you through our worship service and encourage you in the good things that God has for you. As we begin the service this morning, I want to share with you from Psalms 1. This is first day of a new month, and so we'll share with the first psalm here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seats of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted in by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
For hymn of worship this morning, we're going to be using 196, first and third verse, and Benny will have a prayer.
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we're so thankful for another day of life and another time that our church family can come together and just fellowship and worship and honor you and praise you, dear God, for your goodness and your greatness, how good you are to us, dear God. You just do so much for us, and we really are not deserving for all that you do for us, dear God, and certainly not for giving your son, but we're so thankful that you loved us in such a way that you were willing to do that, that Jesus loved us and came and gave his life for us. Thank you for that. But now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this past week and the blessings of it. You've helped us through it, and you've helped us with health issues, and yet we look around and we see the other folks that are absent and they're having some health issues, dear God, and we just pray that they'll be strengthened, be well, and be back with us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for our church family, that you'll bless them in a good and wonderful way, that you'll hold Satan and all his evil things away from us, that we'll not be grieved by him and pained by the things that he does to so many people. Heavenly Father, that's his goal, is to bring misery upon your people. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will hover over us and keep him away from us. So now, Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this opportunity to come together to praise you and to thank you. Please take this worship service as a thank you, and we honor you and your son Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.
Communion hymn is number 1997, first and last verse. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine! Heir of salvation, virtues of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I, my Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
We're on the Lord's Table this morning, reading from Matthew, the 26th chapter. 26 verse. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and gave it to them, the disciples, and said, "Take it, this is my blood." And he took the cup and he had given thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink with you in the Father's kingdom." Our Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity you granted us to gather around your house on the Lord's day. And come around to your table this morning and thank you for the loaf and the cup that represents your broken and bruised body. And one through him we can have life and have it everlasting. May I go with us now to the other exercises of this service, guard and guide and direct us, and save us in the end of prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you for all the blessings you give us each day. As we bring forth these blessings back to our tithes and offerings, we pray that you will use them for your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We have a lot of birthdays coming up. Paula Penn and Pauline Cook is on the same day. Debbie's got a birthday this week over here, and coming up. Okay, fun food and fellowship this Friday night. Looking forward to that. Hope we have a good evening. Hope we're going to have the weather is good, and we'll be able to get together and have a good time there. As you notice, we have several of our people out this morning and because of the illness, and certainly want to encourage everybody to be very cautious. I noticed in the news that there has been one person at least has passed away because of this terrible virus that's spreading around the world, and so be very cautious of what you're doing, where you're at, and so forth. And we went to the hospital the other day, and when we pulled in there, the parking lot was so full, and I just kind of, I thought, boy, this is not the best place to be. But fortunately, when we went in to visit to who we would visit with, well, we didn't pass hardly anybody in the hallways and so forth. But doctor's offices and hospitals and places of work and grocery stores and so forth, you have to be very cautious. Ron was telling me that down at Costco's that they were sanitizing the little carts there right before you, so you trying to help you not to catch something from somebody else. So easy, somebody can just touch something and you can catch some of that. And hopefully that you, we tried and we wanted to pray that covering over our congregation, and but three or four of our people have fallen to that, and I think possibly we're probably subject to that before that. So we hope that the Holy Spirit keeps a covering over this church family, that we won't suffer a lot of the things that is taking place. But I think we also have to be kind of precautious of ourselves. And okay, as we look then at our prayer list, let me go down the line here. We have Paulina. She's all right as far as I know. She's not got anything going wrong. I mean, well, she's got some problems that she's bothered with, but she doesn't have the flu. But Peggy and Doodle have had the flu all week, and they went to the doctor Monday or Tuesday and had the flu, and they had it right seriously bad. And so I was talking to him yesterday, and he said that he was a lot better, but Peggy wasn't a whole lot better. And so hopefully that they'll be over that pretty soon. Who else we got missing back there? And so looking over our prayer list again, be very cautious of what's taking place in the people's lives, and be aware, very aware, and be prayerful for them. We have Donna. We mentioned her last week, but she was set up, I think, to come home Monday, but she didn't come home until Thursday. Did you say she got home Thursday from the hospital? She's home, but she's facing a lot of things, folks. And so, you know, as I tell you, you know, we're concerned about everybody and so forth. But sometimes, if it's fair to say, put some of those people in the top list, you know, because some of us that are just, you know, not too bad, but got some problems, so forth, we can kind of stay down on the list a little bit. But when oftentimes we call for earnest prayer, and all of our prayers ought to be earnest, and we want to pray them. And she's got a lot of problems, and we want to put her up on our prayer list throughout high there and pray that the Lord will work in her life and work those things out. We have several people of that category. So keep those people lifted up before God there, if you will. Let's see who else on that list I wanted to talk about. And we notice there prayer for the family of Sondra Queen, which passed away, and that's a schoolmate at Mike's, I believe it was, or Donna's. And even though we don't know, I don't personally know that family, we can pray that God will comfort them and so forth. And we know that the Holy Spirit does a tremendous, wonderful work of comforting. God works that way, those people that has passed away. Also, we have some new ones there. Wendy, is that Pendycraft? And Mickey. Okay. I'm sorry, I can't quite pronounce it.
They're
nieces of Kim's, and they are needing the prayers. And we mentioned before, Earl Barron, still in the UK hospital, needing to transfer to a rehab facility in the next few days. I haven't heard this week anything about Gary Fuller.
He fell.
I know that. He's been in the hospital. Is he still there, as far as we know? He fluid buildup on his brain and caused him to fall again, and they took him to UK and hopefully that things is going okay. They can take care of that for him, but I don't have a real update on him. Let's see who else we want. by Phil. And it's just kind of a sad thing, because while we was here last Sunday having our worship service, she was laying on the floor. I hate to think about that. She fell, and she was on the floor for about 4 days, if I understand right. I mean, possibly, as far as we know. She was taken to the hospital, and we visited with her the other day, and I was really surprised to see her as well as she was. And she could talk and those sorts of everything, and I just was thankful to see her in as well as she was, if I can say that, use that word. She is now going to go to rehab, and then as far as we know, then she's going to go into assisted living of some kind or another or something on down in Kentucky or somewhere where she'll be closer in between the daughter and the son. So that's going to be a big change for her. She's kind of taking it pretty well. And hopefully that'll all work out well. So pray for Vi in those things that takes place, and for the son and daughter likewise, that they'll make the right decisions and things will work out for her. And so lots of things taking place on our prayer list here, and a lot of people, and be concerned about them. Our nation and the leaders of our nation and the things that are taking place, be in prayer for them. Pray against the work of Satan and disrupting and carrying on that he is. And he's really working and stirring up strife and so forth. And we need to just pray that he'd be put down, that he would not have force in our government and in our people and causes pain and troubles in our nation and so forth. So pray earnestly about that. Our service people that is defending this great nation, and they certainly need to be lifted up in prayers. Those people that works at the hospitals and so forth, and then those who care for those that can't care for themselves, just always keep them in mind, because that's a work that is very much needed, and a work that not everybody is talented to do. And so pray for earnest workers in those fields. Pray for this church that... pray for each one, and pray for the folks that are missing from this family today. Pray that they'll be well and be back with us. Pray that this church will stay strong. Pray that this church will have an effect upon this community and helping people to realize their need for God and for their need for Jesus in their lives. And be so very thankful that God has given us the freedom, gives us the privilege, and we're able to be here today, and we're able to think about these folks and be reminded of them and pray for them. So please join in with the church family as we do that.
Now for prayer here, Ms. Warren, using number 240, saying the first and last verse, and Brian will have her prayer. Let's all stand.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leading on the everlasting arms. What a blessed day, what a peace of mind, leading on the everlasting arms. Leading, safe and secure from all alarms. Leading,
Invitation, hymn number 299.
After time, I went searching for peace in a void. I was trying to blame all my ills on this world I was in. Surface relationships used me till I was done in. And all the while someone was begging to free me from sin. He was there all the time. He was there time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Never again will I look for a fake rainbow's end. Now that I have the answer, my life is just starting to rhyme. Sharing each new day with him is a cup of new life. Oh, what I missed, he's been waiting right there all the time. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time.
Kathleen, I haven't heard from you for a while. It's good to hear from you. Thank you for your special. Very pretty. As I mentioned last week, this will be the last week we're going to talk for a month or so about the plowing, at turning back and so forth. And next week we'll start on our trip toward the cross. Resurrection Sunday being, I think, the second week in next month, and so we'll be trying to get there through the messages for the next month. We'll be headed that way. This morning, I want to share with you from 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 10. I picked this out. We'll just read that one verse, but it covers a lot of territory here. It says, "For Demas, Demas has forsaken me." This is the Apostle Paul. He is now in prison in Rome and has been there with three co-workers, and two of them have been sent off on voyages, and Demas is now forsaking he says, for Damas has forsaken me, having loved the present world, and has departed to Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Now some commentators want to say that the other two fellows deserted Paul also, but I don't see it that way. I believe that Paul had missions for them there and sent them there on those missions, because we hear of them and of their work later on. Damas is the only one that I believe that actually deserted the Apostle Paul, and we don't hear much of him after that. But this morning I want to share some thoughts about Damas here. And we know this is a serious thing to think about, that one would be a co-worker, one would be a, and we are co-workers with the Lord, and we can say that. I think it's fair to say that. We as Christians are co-workers with the Lord. He left us here now to do his work. And he works with us and through us, and we are responsible for carrying out the gospel. We're responsible for plowing this new ground, planting seeds there, and hopefully that they grow and mature, and we have a basket full of fruit when the Lord comes to gather home his own. So Damas here, as we continue to think about going back and why people go back, and last week we talked about Lot's wife looking back, and we just kind of had to speculate on a lot of things about her and the reasons that she went back and drawn back to the things and that she looked back. But Damas actually was looked back, and he went back. And so we look at him this morning, and we know, don't know much about him, but we know this, that he is a co-worker with the Apostle Paul, and that says much about him there. Paul's imprisoned here, and I think possibly that Damas could have been, I say he could have been, imprisoned with Paul there, and he could have been released. This happened before. He was imprisoned with the apostle before, and they were both released. And so I kind of look at it that he was in prison, and now he's been released. He's there in the city of Rome, and that's where we see him at. We believe that Damas was originally from Thessalonica, and that's where to return to. Thessalonica is a very progressing place, very vital place at the time that we're reading here. It was a wealthy city, and I understand today that it is a great tourist city today, great attractions there. And this town was named after a queen, actually, by the name of Thessalonica. And she was a half-sister to Alexander the Great. And when Alexander the Great, you know, he accomplished and took over most of that territory, won over in battle most of that territory. And Thessalonica was the queen of, or a prince, really, of Macedon. And Macedon at that time was a great empire, and so because of Alexander the Great and so forth. And so Thessalonica was under the Roman control until 168 BC, and then it became a free city after that. And by Paul's time, this would be about probably 49 AD that we're reading from here, and this time taking place here. And by the time he arrived there, why, it was the capital city and most important city of Macedonia, Thessalonica was. Now, earlier we read, and we read some of the other letters, and we have the recording here for us, that he was a co-worker. And when he wrote to the Philippians, he was a co-worker. When he wrote to the Colossians, he was named as a co-worker, as a greeting to the churches there. So I don't know how many years I've meant to go back and try to research that, how many years that Damas had spent with Paul, and we could get probably some, but anyhow, we know that he was there for quite a number of years, quite a number length of time that he was with this, with the mass. And so he's referred to as a fellow worker. And the mass had at one time chosen to take hold of the gospel plow, so to speak, and follow Paul as spreading the gospel. And with the other workers here that were with Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he had decided, like Hebrews 11:25, I think it is, tells us that he decided to give up these things, the earthly things, that he then was willing to suffer the afflictions of being a Christian and going forth and sowing the seed, the gospel seed here. And so what caused the mass to turn back? I'm not too sure. I kind of think possibly, as I try to visualize a couple different things, here the other two workers have been sent off, and possibly if he had been imprisoned, and now he's free, he's there alone in this big city of Rome by himself, and he decides to turn loose of the plow and to go back home. And when it said the mass had left him, you know, it's not just like we go and after church services, practically every Sunday we go with some of the folks, Jerry and Judy and Omer, and we used to have several others, and then you folks have gone to dinner with us and so forth. And when we disperse from there, we leave each other, you know, and it's just a casual leaving each other. But that's not the way that the mass left Paul. It wasn't just a casual leaving, you know, and we'll see you soon or something. This was as some would say, he left Paul in a lurch. Paul was in prison now. He is in prison and he's expecting maybe to die any day. And now the only one left is Damas, and he has forsaken him. He's left him in the lurch here. And that's a terrible, terrible way to be. When you have one so close to you, one you have depended upon, a fellow worker so-called here that you were with day after day, and you were supported by him, and he departs from you, and he's not there to comfort you, not there to support you in what's taking place. And so he left him really in a lurch. And whether Damas had actually been in prison, which I think he was, I don't know. And maybe he was, and being set free, and there he is. He's all alone in that big city. And maybe he is fearing for his life. Very possibly. And maybe this is part of the decision reason he makes this decision to go back. Some people wants to say, and I get discouraged with reading some of the commentators and on the scriptures, because they want to say that the mass never was a born-again person. And you know, we have some religious organizations. And should a person leave their organization, so to speak, whether they go back to the world or what, they want to say they was never born to start with. Never born into the Christian family. They hadn't experienced the rebirth. But I have to say, I believe, and I really do believe that Damask was full-fledged Christian man, that he had fledged to be with Paul, that he had fledged to spread the gospel, and he joined this team that the Apostle Paul had. I believe that he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that he worked as hard as the rest of them did. But he's at this position that he's in now, in this place he's in now. And for some reason, there is some cause that causes him. Maybe he lost faith. I don't know. That he returns. We'll see a little more about that. he chose here. Could it have been that Satan, that he had decided that Satan had better things for him than God did? That's a hard saying, but you know, I believe that some people believe that today. Some people actually serve Satan. They believe that Satan has better things for them than God has. And maybe some of the things the world offers, the bright lights shine pretty good and maybe is quite interesting. But what God has is so much better, and why they can't see that. But I believe that he was a saved person, that he served the Lord with all his heart, soul, and mind. I don't know the complete details of the situation, what caused him to go back. I speculate a little bit on it. I don't know the mindset that he had. I can see and visualize with him. He's alone here, and the possibility that they could catch him up and he would die there. I don't know, but it's a thought, and it probably was a thought in his mind. Probably, my thought is that Satan, the old devil here, had approached Damas much like he did with Eve, you know. When Satan approached Eve in the garden there, you remember what he said? And I'll paraphrase this a little bit. And he probably said, you know, Eve, God's holding out on you. He said, just look at all these trees and all the fruit, you say that he tells you you're going to eat of all of them except that one. He said, he's really holding out on you. He said, you know, if you take of that tree, you become wise. And if you take of that tree, you become a god. And you know, there is a belief today that believes that people can become gods. That was the thing that he told Eve. God's holding out on you. If you would listen to me, open your eyes and be wise, you could just have everything you see. You could just enjoy all these things that you see. That's the way he took Eve. And you know what Eve did? Eve believed him. And you know, it's sad, but that's true today. Satan talks to people like that today and tells them how good things could be if they just listen to him. But those who are listening to him need to go back to the Garden of Eden and see Eve listened to him. And Eve took of the forbidden. And you know the rest of the story. I could probably think that Damask here, he had to be discouraged. Alone, now, in this big city, his mentor facing death, and maybe he might be caught by a group at any time and put to death. The work has stopped. He had had such a wonderful time, I think. He had followed Paul, labored with Paul, Titus, Croesus, Timothy, and they had went from city to city. They had plowed new ground. They had planted a lot of seed city to city. They had probably had many mountaintop experiences. And yet he stands here. I see him out here. He's on the corner, the Main and Jefferson, there in Rome. And he's alone. He's discouraged. He's scared. Don't know what might happen next. And at that moment, Satan enters into his mind and begins to talk to him much like he did with Eve. And he says, maybe he says. I think it's good speculation. See, Satan comes to you at your weakest time. Now, a month ago, I visualized Demas, as he stood, maybe there in Rome, maybe in Ephesus, and he stood strong and straight and bold and spoke the word. And now he's discouraged. He's discouraged. He's weak. And maybe he's losing faith. And at that time, in his weakness, Satan comes. And he says, Demas, don't you remember the great city of Thessalonica? And all the glorious things there? Maybe he said to Demas, do you remember all the good times you had there? You had back there in Thessalonica, you had a warm bed every night. You had food to eat. Here you've taken up with this so-called apostle. And you've followed him and you've been in danger. And you slept out under the stars in a cold night. And you've been hungry. Don't you remember, Demas, how good it was back in Thessalonica? How about the good times down on the riverbank when you just sit there in the sun and watch for the bobber to go under? How about the good times after work? Happy hour. And you went down and had fun with Edie and Eddie. How about all those bright light nights where you drank and danced with the gals at Hooters? Oh, Damask, don't you miss all them good things? Damask, if you'll just listen to me, you'll just have the ease and you'll just enjoy things so well. See, Satan comes at times when you're weak and he reminds you of something in the past and tries to get you to think that that's better than what God has for you. That's the way he works. Satan always comes at you at your weakest moments. Some of you have experienced that. Probably all of us at some time or another have experienced a little bit of that. How sorrowful it must have been for Paul sitting there in prison. Prison isn't a lovely place. You know, today, prison's not too bad. It's really not. In fact, some people just commit crimes to get to go there, to enjoy it. They have a lot of things that we don't have ourselves. They have a warm bed. They have food every day, three meals a day. They have air conditioning in the summertime, heat in the winter. Somebody does their laundry. Oh, it's not so bad. They got tennis courts. They play tennis. They can have ball games. They can watch TV. Prison's not all too bad. But when I think about Paul sitting in prison, it's a dark, damp place. Weary as can be. And there he sits. And Paul's all alone. The mass has forsaken him. What a tragedy it is. Still, you know, that's still been played out in many people's lives today. There's somebody that somebody has forsaken. And they're sitting alone, discouraged, in despair. need a friend, need encouragement. They've been forsaken. Paul was forsaken, and it's sad there. I can see Paul and his condition he's in. And I can see Damascus, the condition he was in. Damascus weakened. And Damascus listened to Satan. I say Satan has to do that. Satan is the only one that can really draw you from the Lord. And he does that at your weakest moments. He did that with the mask. It's sad when we see people that receive the word of God today. They get all excited about their new birth and their walk with Christ. And they're blessed, as you people have experienced and are blessed. And they just can't wait to get to church services because of the fellowship and the strength and the encouragement, they get one from another. And lo and behold, some little thing comes along that discourages, some little hard thing, so to speak, rises up, and they did get discouraged and they start losing faith. And the next thing you know, they're gone off. And we really miss people like that. Paul talks about people that goes away like that. And he talks about, you know, and we get some messages sometimes that we ought to go seek them and get them back. But the scripture says, you know, it's almost impossible. When people are lured away, and I think probably it is the shame that comes upon them, and it's so hard to get them back. We've experienced that in every place we've been. We've experienced at least somebody who has gone away, that were part of the church family, and we've tried to get them back. And the scripture is very true. It's almost impossible, and maybe it's completely impossible. It depends on how you look at that passage. I read it as the fact that it's impossible. And you can say, well, all things are possible with God, and that's very true. But the scripture itself says it's impossible. Very well might mean impossible to get them back. So it's a sad thing when you see people walk away. But when people walk away, there must be a reason. And the reason could be, you know, that they're alone, they're scared, don't know what to do, facing difficulties, and they need comfort. Need your help. Paul needed that kind of help. Damascus walked away. That's what Satan does. He comes, and as Jesus says, plants tares among the wheat. He comes and destroys, brings the worries of life and the difficulties and of the riches renders. And life is given up. So the warning comes to us, I think, from this passage, that we must be very alert. And even if you feel alone, you ought to seek a friend. If you feel discouraged, you ought to tell a friend. Anybody in this congregation right here this morning, if you get to be, you know, I think an old saying for, and one that hangs with us is, when I see Damascus there, he was just really down in the dumps, discouraged and so forth. And you know, there's a number of people that get down in the dumps. And I want to encourage you, if you ever get down in the dumps, Don't listen to Satan. Don't go back the old way. Come to one of your brothers and sisters in Christ and tell them I've run into a problem. I'm discouraged, and I'm afraid I'm losing faith. I need your help. I need your encouragement. I need support. And hopefully you'll find it. I'll guarantee if you come to most of the people here, you will find that. Hopefully I can say that if you'd come to any person in this congregation, you would find that. There's no reason for anyone to go back. There's no reason for anybody to turn back. We're headed to the greatest place there ever will be. And we don't want you to turn back. We don't want anybody to turn back. Satan offers some pretty good offers sometimes. And if our faith has weakened, we very well might listen to him. Please don't. Please don't. So the encouragement to you this morning from Damascus passage here. I've read some commentaries that said what Damascus happened to him afterward. They don't know. And I don't know. But I don't believe Damascus ever came back. There are some that I see that kind of went away from the Lord and came back. No place is mentioned anywhere about Damascus. I believe that Damascus went the way of the world. Went to the way of the world. So the encouragement here is, don't give in. Don't give up. Let's all be together and go up. Amen. Let's encourage one another. Strengthen one another. And help each other any way that we have to keep us on the right road with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. I admire Damascus and his work. And my heart goes out to think that a man would be years in the gospel and turn aside with the will. Never ever let that happen to you, please, friend. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel discouraged. Maybe you feel like faith is fading away and you need a friend to encourage you. Please come. And we'll gather around you and pray for you and pray with you and we'll support you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as a Savior. Maybe you have never put your hand to the plow and followed after the wonderful Savior. Come this morning. Grasp the handle. Let me better say that. Grasp the hand of Jesus. As we stand and sing the first verse on. Let's sing that chorus over one more time. Maybe there's someone else here this morning that hasn't not accepted the Lord as their Savior. And maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're kind of discouraged and despair. And maybe Satan's working with your mind and wanting to discourage you. He's a destroyer and maybe you want the elders to have prayer over you and let the congregation have prayer with you and strengthen you and help you in your walk with Christ. Any need in your life whatsoever, don't leave this door without it being settled before God, would you? We're going to sing one more verse. First verse again.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back.
Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house this morning, and we just pray that the Lord would bless you, that the Holy Spirit working with you, that you'll be encouraged, that you will walk stronger in the walk of Christ this week because you've been here, you've honored God, and you've sought His help. And may He bless you in a wonderful way as we go from here. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we can come together as a church family and just worship and honor you, dear God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the support we get from you and your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Almighty God, for the Holy Spirit that works in our lives and guides and directs our lives. And we know, Heavenly Father, from different times we have difficulties in our lives and we have problems and we need help. But most of all, we need the help that you can give, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the support of the church. We thank you for the support of our fellow men, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And but Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the support we get from you, through Christ, among the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, so now bless our people. Keep them safe. Help them, Heavenly Father, to be healthy. Help them to be strong. Help them to prosper in their lives as they go forth this week, we pray. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.